Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thanks so much for tuning in and for being here. Today's episode, all about energy. And there was a lot of energy between me and today's guest. I sat down with Rebecca Ahmed, who is a coach, consultant, speaker, and she's also a chief energy officer. Rebecca and I, we talked about defining energy and being aware of it, because energy is all around us, whether it's personal energy, mental energy, physical energy, energy in the environment. And she shared that there are different levels of energy and different principles, and where you start, how to be aware of your energy and what that means. And then we pivoted a little bit into motivation and knowing your worth and having the energy behind that to even go into a conversation, not a negotiation, around equal pay and what that looks like in the workplace for women. I really enjoyed this episode and I felt the energy. I still feel it. And I know you'll do the same. So rather than me going on and on about Rebecca, it's time for you to hear a little bit about her journey and the advice that she shares. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Rebecca, welcome. Welcome to Women Worldwide.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
It is such a pleasure. Let's just dive right in, because I find it interesting that you have the title Chief Energy Officer. How does one get on the path to becoming a chief energy officer and learning how to shift energy?
Yeah, I'm sure there's tons of different ways, but I can tell you about my path. I come from hospitality and primarily human resources or people services, depending on what type of organization you've worked for. And through that coaching and working with people in general, it led me to join the coaching community. So I went to IPEC, and they specialize specifically in teaching you about leading with energy. And it's a year-long program, and you become certified in this. And from there, I've really taken this work that I've learned into organizations that I've previously worked for or newer organizations, and also built it within a coaching business with my individual clients.
Well, that's fascinating, because we are energy.
Yep.
There are so many ways that we can use it. I believe we're made up of energy. You can't kill energy. And I think the question is it going to be frenetic energy or stressful energy that doesn't serve us sometimes? Or can you harness it? So maybe you could explain some of the ways that you help professionals to understand the energy and how to better tap into it.
Yeah. So it's your personal energy. That can be mental, that can be physical, that can be even environmental. So you're exactly right. We are energy. And there are seven levels of energy. And so you, when you learn about energy, you learn what is serving you or what is not serving you. So that stressful, frenetic energy that you just mentioned, that's part of, you know, there's always advantages and disadvantages to every single energy level. But learning how to harness them, learning how to understand them and create shifts is where you can really start saying, oh, this is serving me versus this isn't serving me. And that's the power that professionals, individuals get to learn when they work with someone like myself, because they're like, oh, I have this choice. And I've taught people, I have five successful energetic principles, how to use those, because that really creates that shift.
So the five energetic principles, if someone was going to start off, if they recognize that their energy isn't serving them, they're going into the workplace every day, they're feeling stressed, they're doing a lot, but nothing really is getting done, would they start Are the five principles, are they linear where you have to do one first, then the next? Where do you actually start?
Yeah, so you start with an energetic assessment. So I provide an assessment and I debrief. And what I'm able to show within this assessment is, how are you using your energy in a day-to-day? Where is that serving you? And then where is stress coming in? Where is that frenetic energy that you talked about? And how is that serving you? Is that leaving you exhausted? Is that leaving you angry? Those are different levels. And based on how you're using your energy, then we start pulling in these different successful principles to say, this will help serve you better. And I can give just an example, for instance.
Yes, that'd be great.
Perfect. So I know a lot of women, they love to serve, right? So care is just something that comes naturally. And I see that consistently in the women that I work with. And so when you're constantly giving, 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 and you don't prioritize your own needs, where do a lot of people go? They go to exhaustion. And they're like, I can't handle anything anymore. Or they get frustrated, right? They're like, I'm being taken advantage of. And then usually, a lot of times, especially women will be like, it's not that bad. You got this. And so this hamster wheel effect.
On the hamster wheel. This is a really good example.
Yeah. And teach people how to get out of that hamster wheel. How can you add energetic moments throughout your day to basically recharge your battery? Think of it as a phone. I don't think of this as self-care. This is actually recharging yourself. And when you do that throughout the day, the same way you do your phone, you break that hamster wheel. And that's one way to do it. That's just a really specific example that I know so many women resonate with, because they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so exhausted. And so breaking that wheel is where you get energetic shifts.
I can see that breaking the wheel would help and recharge. But why isn't that self-care?
Because people have self, it is self-care, but I don't like to define it like that, because there's such an energy around self-care being selfish. And it's not.
No, not at all. You have to be selfish to be selfless, in a sense, exactly. Right? You're no good to anybody unless you're caring. And that hamster wheel just doesn't allow you to care.
Exactly. So when I break it down and say, this isn't self-care, this isn't something secondary that's a nice to have, this is actually an energetic recharge, the same way you plug in your phone. And because people are so glued to their phone, they know, my phone's dying, I need to plug that in. It's the same principle. It's the same concept. You have to be able to do that. And it's that mind shift that a lot of people have a challenge with. And so that's where when I show them, it's not secondary, it's not a nice to have. It's a requirement for you to be able to succeed and move towards your goals with ease. That's the piece that a lot of people forget. It doesn't have to be that hard. If you set yourself up for success and you're constantly energizing yourself, it becomes much easier to do what you want to do. It's not this struggle of, you know, running through quicksand or trying to push through mud.
Right. Is this the motivation or the empowerment piece? Because I'm pretty sure your TED Talk was about motivation.
Yep. So when you're energetically, I would say, in an anabolic state or a positive state, you're able to motivate those around you to also shift their perspective so they can see, this is how this aligns with my goals. But when you're in that frenetic state, you're also able to pull people down and show people, this isn't what you want. So energy is very contagious, and and it can be used very powerfully in a good way or very powerfully in a negative way. And that's why I say it's so important to understand your energy, understand your team's energy. In an organization, when you're looking at that and saying, why is this one team having so many challenges with employee relations? Or why is this one team every single day not producing? Take a step back and say, okay, how can we make a shift?
That's really interesting. I've recognized, and I share this with the executives that I work with in communications training, you have a choice. Your energy can raise people up. It can meet people at their level and you can all stay up. You can raise people, or you can make the choice to sink lower. And that's why sometimes when you walk into a meeting, you might be feeling good, but if everybody around you has this negative or anxious or nervous energy, if you're not careful, you can go down to their level. And that's something that you don't want to do. I find this fascinating. What do you think in general, working with the professionals that you work with, because it is women worldwide, are women more or less inclined to be able to understand this energy, tap into it, and use it effectively?
So I feel like that's a bias coming up because I'm a woman, and because of the women I've worked with, they have been so inclined to pick up this information. Not to say that men don't, but I think what's interesting about women is naturally you see a lot of intuition because they lead with that care. That's a level four energy, is leading with care. And so when you see someone and they tune in naturally to those around them and they're very intuitive, once they understand how they either wear that or make a choice to, you know, be there present with someone and then take that off, they do pick it up quicker. And they are able to say, oh, okay, this is what's going on. Now, I think women have a harder time stepping out of it, though. They have a harder time taking off that cloak and saying, this is not my energy to wear. Men pick that. The men that I've worked with have picked that up faster to say, oh, yeah, I don't need that. Like, that's their drama. That's their issue. I'm not taking that home. But women have a tendency to wear it. And so that's the challenge that I have. They can identify it, but actually getting them to take it off and realize, okay, I am my own person. I'm exercising choice, as you just said. That's the harder part.
I think you explained that really well. I'm wondering, it's probably easier that if you understand your energy to be able to, I hate to use the word control, but direct it and manage it. What happens when the train has left the station and you're already in that heightened, nervous, we've got an issue. I deal in issues management and I've done crisis for a really long time. Don't do it as much anymore, crisis management. But once you're in it, can you still shift or is it too late? Hard question.
Because what I try to do is educate people when they're in that space to still, that word control is exactly it, exercise control. If you want to be angry, be angry. If you want to be sad, be sad. I don't say move through that if you're not ready to move through that. And that's where you have those fierce conversations. But when you're exercising control in a state of anger, you can also be effective. You can be impactful. When you're out of control, That's where things go awry. So when you have left the train and you're not in control, no, you really, unless if you all of a sudden check yourself and say, okay, what tool do I need? I have an attorney client. She used to be a dancer. She does a pas de bourrée when she sees herself getting on that train, and that tells her, oh my goodness, I need to make an energetic shift. Right. And so there's different tools that we work, you know, everyone has different things that'll bring them out of it. But the goal is to know, if I'm in these states, how do I still exercise control? And you can still be angry. That's normal, right? And I've had many times been like, I am upset and I want to be upset. And I'm upset when I want to jump out of that upsetness. But right now, I am angry.
It's nice to have that control over it. I'm angry and I want to be this way. Yeah. I'm thinking, mostly because I'm reading so many books on mindfulness. There's a series right now that I'm reading on emotional intelligence from Harvard Business Review. It's a bunch of mini books. And I just finished the mindfulness book. And a lot is that awareness, because what you're saying is you kind of have to recognize where you are within yourself. Would you say that awareness is a large part of this? And how do people get to awareness? What do you share with them about awareness?
Yeah, awareness is that first step. Once you know where you are, then you can decide where you want to go. And that's why I do this assessment. So when I work with any individual or any organization, we do a values assessment first, because I believe when you lead with your values, you're able to make decisions that are in alignment with your energy. So I first do that work with them, and then I do the energetic assessment and go through, here's where your energy is on a day-to-day. Here's what happens under stress. Now, where do you want to go? And that's where you can make those shifts to say, okay, well, right now I do want to be, you know, a little bit more complacent. Or right now I want to lead with curiosity and I want to like grow and I have questions. These are all different tools that you can use, but you have to know where you're at to be able to make that jump.
Fascinating. Well, I do want to pivot a little bit because I would love to hear some kind of learning moment from you where it was either an uh-oh or aha, this is a really important lesson and it's something that stuck with you.
I've had a lot of those, but because you brought up my TEDx, I think it's very much in alignment. I learned that I wasn't being paid my value, and compensation inequalities exist. Obviously, there's tons of research out there, and I've shared this with so many people, but being a woman of color and realizing that, oh my goodness, I'm not being paid my worth, but I never communicated my worth. I never knew how to even do that. And so rather than placing that on the employer, and I do believe, I work with a lot of employers on creating compensation equality programs, but I also really love working, especially with women, and saying, this is how you communicate your worth. And you need to go in with the right tools, the right research, so you can be able to discuss and have a conversation. I don't look at it as a negotiation, a conversation to say, this is what I'm worth. And I feel comfortable stating that. And then you won't be compensated unfairly. And that aha moment is why I did the TEDx. So people can see this is how you do this. And this is how you ensure that that's what makes you productive. That's what motivates you, right? When you know you're being paid your worth, you always give 100%. It's when you feel that you're not treated fairly. That's when productivity goes down. That's when engagement goes down. So I placed that in people's hands because that was my huge aha moment.
That's a huge moment. And thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And I bet there are a lot of women out there who are listening saying, whoa, I've either been, I know I'm not paid my worth. Maybe I haven't communicated, but it's been a negotiation. And you read my mind because you see things about what I'm about to ask. Because I was going to say, is this a negotiation? Does everybody have to go out and get better negotiating skills? But it's a conversation, which must look very different. Can you just share what one part, if you can, an example of how you would frame the conversation or what you would say to communicate that worth, if you can?
Yep. So I talked about that values assessment that I do. And so when you know your values, you're able to lean in on those to say, so one of my values, for instance, is walk the talk. And so what I would do is give an example and say, this is one of my values. This is how I've used that in past organizations to be able to not only impact my team, but to impact the organization's bottom line. And this is what I can do for you. And that is why I am worth X amount. And I always say, have market data. Go to PayScale, go to PayFactors, go to Mercer, go to Glassdoor. Call people, ask them, have informational interviews. What do you make? Tell me about it. People love to talk about themselves.
Yes, they do.
So, and then you can say, this is why I align with this within market data, whether I'm on the high end, whether I'm on the low end, but I know my market data. But using those values and pulling out exact examples of work you've done, it helps people have such an easy conversation because you're not, for a woman, a lot of times we're not taught to brag, right? Or talk about ourselves. And that really separates you from that because it becomes so much more crystal clear versus this murky waters of, oh, am I talking too much about myself? You know, you're able to give those exact examples.
Excellent. I really, really like your approach and appreciate that you're sharing this. Let's talk a little bit about your energy. And would you say that you are able to, you probably use your own tools and practice, but are there other ways that you keep yourself aware? Are there ways that you're mindful? Or in other words, what do you do when you get stressed out?
I do a lot of things. I love to work out. So I'm ClassPass and I do different workouts probably every single day. I also lead with pleasure. And this is also something that people get a little, you know, squishy about. But when you're leading with pleasure, you have a smile on your face. Like, I just saw a smile on your face when I said that, right? So I put whipped cream on my coffee in the mornings. Yeah, exactly. Like, if I want to take, you know, if I'm having a stressful moment, I'll pop up to like our jacuzzi, just go up there and have like 5 minutes of just like in the hot tub. I love to go for walks, get a gelato, like different things that bring you smiles. A lot of times I watch little clips of comedies. Anything to make me laugh and to smile, it's a natural release. And so leading into that pleasure is something that you can easily do, does not take a lot of work, and it becomes like part of who you are, and people really notice that too.
No, that's really good. I'm going to remember that. The lead with pleasure. Everybody out there, lead with pleasure. Those moments that you start to feel stressed or you're going in a direction that doesn't feel good, take a pause.
Yeah.
Lead with pleasure and you'll smile. That's really
you will. And that naturally shifts your energy. That's not even something you have to try.
Laughing. Isn't that great? Yes, a smile does so much. Because when you're smiling, it's releasing it's the endorphins, it's the chemicals. You're happy. Can't be sad and happy at the same time. It's impossible. Well, maybe you could just share some of the resources that you have. A lot of tools, and I know that you went through that year program, but how do you stay up to date for your clients and all the work that you're doing?
Yep. I'm constantly involved with the program that I went to school with, IPAC. They constantly put out new information, new research, webinars, workshops. I stay very much in tune with that because the more you learn about people, the more you learn about their energy. And so they'll walk through a lot of information about different clients that they're working with, obviously all within a confidential setting. But you get to learn, this is how that interplay is happening, or, oh, this is what's going on with this person. So definitely do that. I read a lot. I love to read. And within the HR community, I do so much consulting that I constantly am either, you know, speaking at associations or speaking at conferences and then meeting with others and asking them about their work. It's always that connectivity that I find that really keeps me updated. And then, of course, coaching, because when you're talking to people, you learn so much.
I think people are such a big part of advancing knowledge, and you can be curious and learn a ton from the people around us. And social media has truly opened that up, as well as this ability to have a face-to-face video.
Yeah, exactly.
In the days of COVID, no doubt. Well, I can't even believe I'm going to ask you for the parting advice. Rebecca, what would you like to share with the women worldwide audience about tuning in or tapping into their energy? What can they do?
I would say the number one is learn your values. Know your values, learn your values, know how to communicate them. Because when that starting point is you're able to really make decisions with confidence. And I think a lot of people, so much energy is wasted when you don't have confidence in your decision. You reel, right? You're like, oh, did I do that right? Should I have done that? The amount of energy you expel when you could have said, oh, that's in line with my values. I'm stepping into this decision. Doing that work in the very beginning empowers you to make so many more powerful decisions moving forward and learn and grow when you make a mistake. But rather than being upset at yourself, you say, oh, that's what I learned from this. It's still in line with my values, but I'm able to move this forward. So that would be my number one advice for all women on this call.
Excellent. Excellent advice. Know your value. That is something to walk away with, to live with as we move forward. Well, last question, and this is an easy one. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
So my business is Energetic Impact, and my website's www.energeticimpact.com. Quite easy. And then I'm on LinkedIn constantly, so you can always find me there and reach out. I'm very easy to reach, but all of the information that you need is on my website as well.
That's great, Rebecca. Thank you so much for being on the show, for sharing your insights. You gave us a lot of advice on how we can really use energy to our benefit. So thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
And thank you to everyone who's tuned in today. Really appreciate you being here. And you know what I always say? keep the conversations going, the feedback coming, and you know where to find me. I'm on LinkedIn as well, and I'll be talking to Rebecca, so you can find us there. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.